My guest is Zach Mack. He produced a three-part podcast series titled Alternate Realities. The podcast follows a trail of conversations in Zach's family as he tries to bridge a growing communications gap between himself and his dad due to his dad's strong beliefs and conspiracy theories. As Zach's dad clings ever tighter to his beliefs and conspiracy theories, the family grows further apart. Welcome to The Exchange, Zach.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike.
So help me understand the relationship between you and your dad, and what are these conspiratorial beliefs which you sought to reconcile?
Yeah, so my father and I, we've never been particularly close. He's been in my life always. He's been around. We were not particularly close. He is a Christian conservative. He's sort of the odd man out in our family. We also live in the Bay Area. Things tend to be a little more liberal. My mom's Jewish. So he's always been a little bit of an outsider. And in the last few years, he's gotten increasingly into various conspiracy theories that sort of range from, you know, all sorts of like shadow governments to COVID conspiracies. And at some point, you know, we were just having these circular arguments. Things kind of came to a head. And he challenged me to a bet, a year-long bet for $10,000. We're not rich, nor are we big gamblers, so this was very unexpected. But he challenged me to a bet basically on 10 of his predictions that he thought would come true by the end of 2024. And they were all very, I would regard them as politically apocalyptic. It was sort of Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Joe Biden would be rounded up and convicted of treason, that our country would come under martial law, that a electromagnetic pulse device would wipe out all digital communication in the U.S. So just sort of a lot of things that would be like upending the political structures at the time. And I accepted that bet and proceeded to interview him over the course of the year and sort of try to understand how he kind of came to believe in some of these conspiracies and try to get him out a little bit, try to bring him a little bit back to reality.
Well, it's a good question. Let's go back a little bit, because I don't think someone flipped a switch and he just began to believe.
Right.
What was your childhood like? Tell me about your family.
Yeah, I think for my father, he grew up with his grandfather, or his father, my grandfather, was a chiropractor who did not believe in vaccines, actually held my father out of kindergarten because of a vaccine mandate at the time, and ultimately was just very distrusting of the medical institution. So my father grew up sort of as a sort of an anti-vaxxer and also very distrusting of institutions, and especially the medical institution. So I think that was early on. And then as he's become deeper in his faith over the years, his views have become increasingly more conservative. And, you know, if you're tracking conservatism, it has become more and more aligned with a lot of right-wing politics and right-wing conspiracies, unfortunately. And so he has sort of gotten swept up in a lot of that stuff. And now he believes, he watches a number of prophets online who claim to be communing directly with God, and they usually spout off a lot of very right-wing conspiracy theories. And that's sort of been partially his descent. And like a lot of people, things got really escalated during COVID.
How old are you, Zach, and how long has this been going on?
I'm 38 years old. It's been going on, I would say, in the last four-ish years, it's sort of really picked up. And before, there were just like little seeds that, you know, I could see kind of here or there. But things have really escalated in the last three or four years.
You have any siblings?
I have a younger sister.
And what does she think?
My mom, my sister, and I, we're all sort of on the same page, which is a very different page than my father. And, I think we've all really struggled with his descent into conspiracies.
Is the family religious?
We are not. No, I mean, my father is, but the rest of the family is not particularly religious.
So tell me about the impact of your dad's beliefs on your family, on your mother, on your sister.
Yeah, I think it's had a tremendous impact. You know, I think for one, it's just sort of difficult to share a home with someone who you don't share a reality with. and there is increasingly less and less in common and just less shared worldview. You know, on top of that, I think my mother is struggling because, you know, my father has been hoarding survivalist supplies or, you know, spending money from their joint account on precious metals and things like that without her consent, without her knowledge sometimes. So, you know, she sort of feels like she's in this place where she can't really trust him. She can't trust his decision making. He and my sister are having a different falling out because she came out to him 2 years ago and that didn't go particularly well because of his religious beliefs. So there's sort of been a lot of tension playing out in the family that are centered around my father's beliefs.
So it sounds like your father has some source of his beliefs, but at the same time, I mean, there's a little bit of dichotomy here. He's taking measures to protect his family based upon these strange beliefs. Do we have any source?
Yeah, he has several sources. He's been watching people online that sort of claim to be prophets and communing with God, and they're all often talking about very apocalyptic scenarios. So he's getting a lot of it from them.
So why did you decide to produce a podcast about this family issue?
Yeah, so I decided to produce this because when he challenged me to the bet, I immediately saw it as an opportunity to sort of prove him wrong and maybe eventually bring him back to reality. I produce stories for a living, so I sort of knew a good story when I heard it. But I also knew that our situation was not unique, that this was happening all over the country. And I wanted to show what that looks like and how that plays out inside of a home. I knew I had a very up close and personal story to share and that so many people would connect with it. And to be honest, just in the week that it's been out, I've gotten hundreds of messages in my inbox from people who are going through something very similar. So it does seem like it's resonating.
How did you persuade your family to participate?
You know, my father was eager to do it. He was very on board with the idea, and he still doesn't regret it, and even now that it's out. So there didn't take a lot of persuading from him. And then my mother and sister, they're just always generally supportive, and I think they felt like they were out of ideas and out of options as to what, like how to reach him, and they thought, hey, this is a bit of a Hail Mary pass, but maybe this will work.
So what's the current
status?
I did
have the full support and participation of my family.
So what's the current status of the family relationship?
I think things have degraded and dissolved quite a bit. He was wrong on his predictions. He was 0-for-10. On the predictions, and things have dissolved. That's sort of very mapped out throughout the podcast. You really get to know everybody, and you get to see kind of what happens. The interesting wrinkle is that through this podcast, my father and I have never been closer. You know, we've been able to talk more and in different ways than we ever have. So it's been a really nice sort of getting to know him better and getting to know him differently than I have before. But ultimately, he is still very, very immersed in the conspiracy world.
Were you able to conduct a process of critical inquiry to better understand what's influencing your dad?
Yeah, I mean, we tried a lot of things. I worked with some researchers who are doing all this cutting-edge work with AI chatbots. I consulted a lot of clinicians or other conspiracy experts. We tried a number of things and looked at things a lot of different ways. Again, a lot of which is mapped out in the podcast. I feel like I came to understand him a lot better.
And so where can people find this podcast, and what do you hope to achieve with the podcast?
Yeah, it's on the NPR embedded feed. You can get it wherever you get podcasts, NPR embedded. It's also on the NPR website. And yeah, I'm hoping people get a chance to hear it and understand the impact that these very insidious beliefs can have on a family, how much it can pull you from reality, how common this is right now in our country. I do believe that there's a bit of a war on truth. And we're sort of seeing unfortunate result of that and the devastation it's leaving within the household.
Will listeners find any tips for reconciliation?
Yeah, I think there's some. The first tip I would give would just be to approach the situation with curiosity and empathy and do everything you can to understand why these ideas are appealing to this person, what they're doing for them, instead of just sort of bombarding them with facts. Do a little bit of looking under the hood to understand how they got here and why these beliefs are appealing.
So approach with curiosity rather than being combative.
Yes, for sure. Yes. I was just having the same circular arguments with my father before this project, and that was going nowhere.
Gotcha. And how has your mother been able to reconcile or find ways to cope?
Well, she hasn't. She's taking measures to leave the marriage because I think she felt like she's done everything she can.
I'm sorry to hear that. And your sister?
Yeah, her and my father are not really speaking at the moment.
So you and your father are all that's left?
Yeah, it would appear so. I mean, I'm obviously in good standing with my mother and my sister, so I'm sort of a little bit of a, in between two worlds. But yeah, I think my father is losing a lot for his beliefs at the moment.
I find that fascinating because it seems that his hope is to protect his family. At the same time, he's losing it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a paradox.
My guest was Zach Mack, producer of the podcast series Alternate Realities. I'm Mike Green. Egg prices are making headlines once again. The price for a dozen eggs has more than doubled compared to last year. As Alejandro Figueroa reports, that's pushing some Oregonians to take a crack at raising their own backyard chickens.
I had a lady call this morning want to know if we got birds in, and I'm like, oh, we did, but they're all sold. I go my whole spiel.
Shelly Burns Gusto says when the phone rings at Burns Feed Store in Gresham, 9 out of 10 times it's someone asking about chicks. She just got a batch of them, but they sold out even before they got to the store.
It's a lot crazier. The last couple of years it's been, I would call it quote unquote normal. You have people call, want their birds. This year it's every single person that calls wants birds.
It's no secret egg prices are at an all-time high, and that's mostly because of bird flu. Last year, farmers lost over 38 million egg-laying birds, leading to shortages and, in return, higher prices. That's pushing more people to raise their own backyard chickens. But it's unlikely they will save people money. Just ask Bobby Morris. She's a Portland resident and has been raising backyard chickens for almost a decade. She says, for starters, there's a lot of upfront costs.
And then there's more expensive equipment like electric doors for convenience and stainless steel feeders.
Plus, it takes about 6 months for chicks to mature and start laying eggs. But Morris, who jokingly calls herself a crazy chicken lady, says they're fun animals to have around and a bit addictive.
For us, they're pets with a bonus. The cat I used to have did not pay me back in any way, shape, or form for its care and upkeep, where the chickens do provide for us, too.
She says she wouldn't be surprised if people getting birds now end up being crazy chicken people, too, in a few months. I'm Alejandro Figueroa, reporting.